Welcome. You're listening to the season 5 of the Young Changemakers podcast. This is a Global Changemakers production. If you would like to know more about the programs and the resources available for you, go check global-changemakers.net.
Hello, Kesar. It is a pleasure having you here. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation to the Young Changemakers podcast.
Hey, Megan, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be on your podcast and thank you for inviting me.
Now, we're very happy from our side. And to start, we would like to ask you, can you briefly introduce yourself and your role at WALI?
Sure. My name is Kesar Runja and I've been a global change maker since 2009 and 10. I attended Global Youth Summit happened in London. Since then, I've been very much involved with global change makers. I've been a facilitator as well as involved in a lot of other projects with GCM or Global Changemakers family. So I co-founded Wang Lab of Innovation. It's actually part, or would you say a sister to the existing organization that I co-founded earlier, which is called Welfare Association for New Generation. But WALI, which is Wang Lab of Innovation, is more of a technology-driven social enterprise that aims to transform rural communities by using technology and innovation.
Thank you so much. And can you please tell us a little bit more about the projects and initiatives that you have implemented or overseen at the Wang Lab of Innovation?
Yeah, of course. So Wang Lab of Innovation is actually built in a very remote and rural area in Las Pela district of Balochistan in Pakistan. So it is accessible. It's in the town. It's solar powered. It's connected to very hi-fi or high-speed internet access through point-to-point connectivity with the local exchange system in the country. And at Wang Lab of Innovation, our attempt is to make technology accessible and inspire communities to learn and take best out of it. It's supported by the Internet Society, so it's like a community network, which we call it. And it is not just providing internet access, but it's also providing a place for discussion, creativity, art. So a lot of things that we do engage farmers, young people. Then we create local content, like we see a lot of information is available online virtually from across the board, but most of that content is in either in English or languages which is global. But at the local, very grassroots level, people have challenges with global languages, so we're trying to transform and create that content in local languages, as well as also we see a lot of potential we have seen in last few years where we see a lot of artists coming out from grassroots levels having a little bit of shine on social media. So at Wang, what we are doing at Wang Lab of Innovation is creating a platform where a young artist just need to come to our lab. He does not need to have skills online managing, creating content or anything. He just needs to have more of what the natural talent he possesses or they possess. And then we provide them platform from creating their brand to launching them and making them viral. So those are some of the projects. And one recent one that I really love is our summer camps that we organize because students are very busy with their studies and they don't have much time to go separate classes for computers or things. So we organize summer camps where we bring young people together and they learn technology or basic things which would help them in even their studies as well.
Thank you so much. It's so interesting because it's not only one project, but you have a lot of initiatives from providing internet to being a platform for creativity, also providing content in local languages and summer camps for technology. Everything is very important, especially nowadays. But the question that I've been having throughout your intervention is, what inspired you to start with this? What inspired you to co-found WALI and to work towards bridging the digital divide in your country?
Yeah, I think one thing that inspired me, I look back at my life growing up in a rural area in Balochistan. My life was changed because of internet and my early access to technology and computers. I still remember how hard it was for me to get access to the internet. I have to go to 100 kilometers apart to another city to get connected and probably appear in any online interview because internet connectivity in my hometown was a luxury if you can get it, but it wasn't possible. And also computer and other technological tools are very expensive. So a lot of our population communities, they live below the poverty line. It's very hard for parents or families to get access to computers. Even if they have the access to computer, access to electricity is a challenge because there are power shortages. And even if they have electricity and they have computer connectivity, internet connectivity is a massive challenge, which promotes digital divide. And that leads to, when I see young people today, and I see them, if they don't get access to technologies and equipping them with the modern skills, I'm really concerned about their futures down in the line in next 10 years, 15 years, because everything is going to go through technology. So one thing that we, when we built this Rural Innovation Lab, one other thing that we learned is AI, especially the recent interventions. And I think what we did successfully is connecting and integrating artificial intelligence into our new programs that I'm very proud of sharing, that I just missed, I think, in the project initiatives part. We are running, we actually launched a new website, which is for Pakistan's first Urdu language website, which provides information, a lot of information about artificial intelligence as it uses in common man's life and how can we utilize it best for our engagement and progress.
Right. Thank you so much for sharing this. Like you have already shared with us your personal experience and how is it that it fueled your interest in the topic and fueled your interest in starting WALI. And you mentioned something very important. You mentioned that it's hard to imagine a future without technology. And indeed, it's also very hard to imagine our present already without technology. You talked about the digital divide, and I would just like to delve into this question. How would you define the digital divide? What is it and how it affects rural communities?
Yeah, I think digital divide is earlier to me, I did not had that lens when I was growing up. I thought people are, coming up from that very small town, I thought people are poor because just they are poor as by their luck and nature. But as I grew up and I understood, start understanding concepts across the world, how systems keep us at the lower level and how our social mobility is limited because of the access to opportunities, I thought internet and digital technology was something that was that could have been used to mobilize or speed up the process of changing or providing a speedy process to social mobility thing. But because technology access was something that was very limited, and those who do not have access, that was creating a community of divide, even not just in communities, but I would see in families where one sibling has access on a laptop or internet, the other one would remain very far from them. So then we turn this into narrative, into communities. And we see if some communities or some families, if they have access to technologies and internet, I could easily say that other families or other communities are going to left behind because they do not know what is necessary right now. They are putting more time, more efforts. But technology is one thing that could have clear that divide. So I think this is affecting very severely to our communities in rural areas.
Yes, and something very interesting is precisely that you mentioned that the divide can also be in families, right? The divide can be within communities, within families. And yeah, this makes me wonder, how does the digital divide impact vulnerable groups? Or for example, how does the digital divide impact women differently?
Oh, this is so close to my heart, Megan. I remember while I was growing up, I could go to nearest city to live in a shared, for example, hostel with five other boys, but it would have not been possible for my sister to go somewhere to stay because the family and cultural values and accessibility problems. So then this access, this divide is further impacting gender and also on other marginalized groups. For example, people on with disabilities cannot move to cities, or those who need special assistance would always suffer because, for example, in rural areas, we don't have paved ways or highways or better transport. So for for families, it would be possible to just drop a wheelchair bound person to a nearest lab, which is like just a 5 minute walk, but it would be hard for them to get them into a car or something and then go like 10 kilometers ahead and leave them to learn in the city. So when we were working on this idea, our idea basically was to make it accessible without any kind of barrier, or either it's people who are affected by gender discrimination, gender divide, or people who needs special assistance, who are differently able, needs these kind of access. So our lab that we get is fully accessible to everyone, and because it's a very much in the center of 5 to 6 villages, so even if a girl wants to come with her sister or alone, she just needs to walk like 5 minutes from her home, and they are in the lab, which is equipped with the highly technological accessories, high-speed internet, and best tools to learn being within their own areas without any resource. It's just, they just need to walk into the lab, and they are welcome in a world of transformation and change.
Thank you so much for explaining this to us. Because it's true, like the digital divide can indeed exacerbate inequalities, especially in terms of gender, and you explained it precisely in a case that is very close to you, to your community, and to your personal experience. So now let's move on to the power of innovation and technology, and the power that this has to transform lives. So how do you see innovation and technology playing a role in solving pressing social and environmental issues?
Yeah, I think it is, we see no borders. We saw in COVID how technology has played a vital role in our learning and in our day-to-day work life. But there were still divides in people who do not have access to those issues. Now when I see technology even getting greater than before, and access becoming more approachable for a wider community, we see a lot of challenges. For example, one of the recent issue example that I could quote is, we were under a deadly floods in Pakistan, and my organization and we did partnership with Wangal Lab of Innovation and other organization. We engaged our youth leaders, volunteers, to go into community and identify people who are in need of help, and that data driven campaign was something that helped us to raise funding, highlight the issue, and it was all because of these local leaders or local young leaders who understood how can technology change the narrative and make things more accessible. For example, one of our recent intervention, we call it Las Jawan, where we are engaging young people on fighting against climate change. So they are using a lot of technological tools, for example, creating content in local languages, asking about why we should stop deforestation, asking about how should we promote alternative energies. And I think those technologies have provided platforms to those who were hurt, but it was very limited place, a very limited universe. Now their voice is echoing. For example, we saw a lot of our other social issues. For example, in education sector, we saw a lot of young people dropping out of schools because schools did not have enough facilities and were challenging. Some people could talk to some local representatives, but they were not heard. But when they got trained on social media and those technological tools, their voice was echoing. It went to viral, and people from the federal governments and provincial governments took action. And I have like a number of examples where social media actually created a massive change. For example, one example was there was a school where students were sitting under a tree for 14 years, a government school, but there was no building. Our volunteers went there, they made the video. The video went viral, and next month they got a proper building for that school. Could you imagine the power of technology that we could utilize to raise issues and solve them?
Certainly. No, I mean, it is impressive. And the thing is that these tools are there, but if people don't have the knowledge and don't understand how to use them, there's a lot that they're missing on, right? And that's why initiatives just like yours are so important. Because, yeah, as you mentioned, capitalizing on social media can actually transform a whole community, or can draw attention into issues that are very important but are sometimes left behind, or the attention is not given to them. So thank you definitely so much for sharing this. And I also wanted to delve into some of your projects, some of the initiatives that you mentioned. Now that we're talking about the power of innovation and technology, you also talked about how is it that there is content that is produced in local languages with the support of technology. And you mentioned at the start of this conversation about the summer camps on technology. Can you please expand a little bit more in these two initiatives and how is it that these two initiatives that are using technology are transforming your community?
Sure. So one of the key program that we did is hosting a podcast, which is called Campus Kahani, hosted by one of our team member, Hafsa. What she does, see, because we see in campuses and schools there are a lot of issues, and I don't know about other communities, but in our culture it's very, very hard for women to come up and speak about issues that they matter, especially despite the fact they are in campus, they are studying, but because the traditional values, women will not get coverage on media or in local even newspapers, but they have voices then that need to be heard. So our team member and volunteer Hafsa came to us and says she wants to start a podcast, but she does not understand how everything works. So we're like, okay, great. If you have idea, you just need to have a mobile that you could record whatever conversation you're having with your friend, and rest of us, our team will manage. So what Hafsa does, Hafsa goes to her university or school, and she have this conversation with her colleagues and friends and other girls that she interact with, and highlights the problems, and a simple voice note or audio recording is sent to us. Then our team actually then doing entire thing, from promoting, from creating social media posters to uploading it on her the Campus Kahani's YouTube channel, branding, search engine optimization, editing, everything. And that makes it very useful for Hafsa, because she might have a good speaking skills, but then she has to worry about the technological part. So now as one of the example of Hafsa, now she just only has to worry about the issue she really wants to highlight. The rest of it is being managed by our volunteers at Wang Lab of Innovation. So this is one example. The other example that I want to highlight is the recent work that our volunteers did in Las Bela Flats. We're very able to bring, because when floods come, our own district was under the floods and there were no connectivity except Wang Lab of Innovation, because we had a separate connectivity other than the local mobile phones or something, which is called point-to-point connectivity. So volunteers would go entire day in fields and highlight, bring stories from fields to our lab, then upload them on our shared drive. And one of our team members was sitting in other part of the country. They would download everything and then make stories out of those. So those stories went viral on our social media, and we were able to raise around 220,000 dollars for our fundraising campaign. That actually led us to build 50 homes for women-led families in Las Bela district. Like 50 homes. I think it wasn't possible if the technology wasn't there, if Wang Lab of Innovation wasn't there. So this had changed everything, the way we responded the floods.
No, that is impressive. Thank you so much for sharing these examples with us. And with all the experience that you have had throughout these years with the WALI, within your community, what are some of the key lessons that you have learned as a leader in the context of rural innovation and technology?
That's a very interesting question. I think a key lesson that I can take from this experience is engaging people. Like if we start expecting that people would understand what is happening at first, is a different challenge. You might not get a quick encouragement or confidence from people, but you understand, if you are a community leader, you know how, as a visionary leader, you see how world is going to look like years before. For example, in our case, when we were building, we started building Wang Lab of Innovation at the start of year 2022. At that time, everyone was like, no, this can't be done. This is a rural area. We have electricity problems. We don't have connectivity. You are wasting your energy into this. But because I was working in the community and I had this, my broader perspective of change and transformation that I learned from Global Change Makers and other programs that I've been part of, and I knew that as a leader, I have to think beyond what a common man would think. And I think that that was my one lesson, that as a leader, you also always have to think beyond the limitations, and possibilities become possible when you have that greater vision of empowering others. So that's where I started. And initially, people were a bit doubty that this might really happen. And now when I go back and I see a lot of people coming, women are coming there, young people, children, farmers are coming there, and they're trying to learn as much as they can. And especially after this AI revolution, everything has changed, and we are now training young people who are very proficient with their skills, and they know how to now deal at least coming ahead in their future. So I think lessons are very simple. Be consistent and be a visionary. Look around the challenges that the other part of the world are facing, and then kind of predict what might happen with your community if you do not take this action right now. And always find allies, partners, and people who think alike you, or who could be your support. Not support in like just in financial matters, but support in just a moral support, a content support, or encouragement. That would really make things happen.
Definitely. Being a visionary, as you put it in your own words, I think it's key. It's important to see beyond the limitations, as you very well mentioned, and as well to have partnerships. And my next question is actually related to engaging other people. And, you know, we are the Young Changemakers podcast. You are young. You are also part of this network. How do you see the role of young people in addressing the digital divide and driving positive change in their communities?
Oh, I think young people are the key. That like they have the potential, especially if you are a young person today, it means you are already somehow introduced to technology. And because now you are in mid of your age, or mid-20s, or in early 30s, or you're getting into your 18s, you all already have heard conversations around your families, around your seniors, teachers, and those regrets coming from people who did not get a chance to get equipped with technology. And then now you also see children growing up, and then you could predict, oh, what could go wrong if these children here not get access to technology and learn tools which are very important for their future jobs, for future change. So I think young people play a key role, and it's not just about having fun. I understand it's very important to having fun on social media, like watching funny videos and things, but how could we sure? I think one thing that I could see, I give example a lot of places, is for example in earlier years without technology, many of our colleagues did not get opportunities, because those opportunities were limited to bigger cities and bigger towns. But people from rural areas or rural communities would not get to even know what was happening, what kind of opportunity is there. But now that the level is like, the field is leveled. So now if you have talents, if you have skills, you can compete with, by sitting just in Las Vegas with a student, with a youth and across the region and other part of the country. So the best way young people can transform this is to share with others. If you know something, transform it to others. Create more opportunities for accessibility. If you are a brother, help your sister to learn. If you are in a community, you know the technology, make it accessible. Or tell parents why it's important for their children to learn these technologies and get access on these learning opportunities, and educate teachers. If you have teachers around you who are not familiar to technology, tell them how could technology help them diversify their learning and learning skills. So I think there's a lot that young people can do to cut down this digital divide and make field very accessible for everyone.
That is very true. I think as you mentioned, young people have a lot of skills related to technology, just because especially the youngest generation, you know, they were already born with much more technology exposure, right? So if there's this chance to share the knowledge, then why not doing it and sharing it, starting with your family and friends? So that is a wonderful advice and a wonderful perspective on the role of young people. But, you know, beyond the role of young people, what do you think are the unique strengths, let's say the unique advantages and perspectives that young people bring to the table when it comes to leveraging technology for social impact?
Yeah, I think young people have this potential. As I shared, they have understanding of what happened in past, a little bit around their families, their communities, and they could see, for example, within their communities, people who were very smart, very sharp in their early careers, but because they did not connect themselves with technology, they're left out in the bigger race. For example, in my community, I could see some of very exceptional teachers and other workers in government offices were very good with their analytical skills, their knowledge about issues around the world. But because they were afraid or they had no access to technology, now they are left out. They are doing what they could do. But if I, for example, one of my friends is a great writer and he would write amazing stories in local newspapers. But he's still writing on by his pen, but because he did not connect himself with the technology, he left out from game. Maybe if he was aware about blogging or freelancing, he could have been impacting a wider community or a wider audience. But because he left out, so he's not part of the bigger game. So I think other things are, it's not just about strengths, but it's also how do we manage those strengths? Like, I know a lot of my friends who are very good creators, but are they using their creativity into a right platform or into a right direction, which could lead them to transform their knowledge, which could lead them to transform their lives with having those skill sets? So I think for young people, it's very, very important to have direction and then also vision where they could bring those strengths which they have. For example, it's a consistency, it's a creativity, it's an innovation. So I'm more of a, if you have a unique strength, make sure you're connecting it with the right direction. That's how I see it.
Thank you so much. And definitely it is important to have a direction, to see how to connect your skills, your strengths, your abilities to support others. And it's been very well mentioned before that young people that are passionate about bridging the digital divide, they can start by sharing knowledge with their own community. So I would also like to ask you, if young people want to go beyond and maybe would like to learn more about WALI and they would like to support your initiatives, how can they learn more about it and get involved?
Sure. I think the one easy way to, if they want to learn or replicate similar issues, for example, I have friends. Once I started this Wang Lab of Innovation, I got to know friends who were very willing to share their old computers, or I found some mentors who were willing to even donate computers. So if you're planning to do this, and I'm always kind of a person who I don't want anyone to build like entire, you know, institution at one place. So even if you are just able to do like two tools and one tool to make sure community or four children around you could learn, make sure you start with a small one. So not thinking about the bigger thing. So before I go to the actual question, my always the message is start whatever you have. If you could just buy on your own computer, you could teach someone about writing, if you could teach someone about emailing, if you could teach someone about blogging, please do this. Do not wait that you need to have an entire building and then you have hundreds of children coming and then doing things. So start whatever you have. Wang Lab of Innovation is very open, and we are also open if, for instance, any of our change makers from across the world wants to contribute or do, for example, a learning session. We could arrange, invite our students or youth in the community and talk to them if they want to share their experience, or if they even open to collaborate projects which are universal. For example, if somebody sitting in Canada wants to do a project in Pakistan in partnership with WALI, we are very much open to that, and students or anyone, change makers, can learn more about WALI on our website, which is www.wali.com.pk, and also on our social media with handle @WALICOMPAK. So they can definitely go there and find out, and I would also share the links with you, so maybe you can put on the description when they come to see.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for sharing the social media handles. We will also include the links in the description of this episode. And We're sadly getting to the end of this episode. It's been amazing, and thank you so much for sharing everything that you have been doing in your community. But as we approach the end, I would like to ask you, what is one piece of advice that you would give to young changemakers who are interested in using technology to drive positive change in their communities?
I think my message would be is if you are in light, those who are in the darkness are on your responsibility. So if you know something, teach something. If you have something, share something. That would make accessibility more wider and more approachable for everyone. And we could definitely do a lot. We don't need to do a lot, but we could definitely do something at some place for someone to making things happen. And start with the small. That's it.
That is wonderful. Definitely. You know, little by little, we can make very big changes. And I would just like to ask you, is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience about WALI or your work in the field of rural innovation and technology before we close?
Yeah, I just want to share about our website. Our new initiative is called UrduAI.org, which is a universal platform for diversifying artificial intelligence learning for communities across Pakistan, because a lot of learning is coming in English and we are transferring that into Urdu. That's one of our projects. So we are very open to partnerships and learnings where we could integrate other languages into our platforms.
All right, Kesar, again, thank you so, so much for joining us in this episode. We are very happy to have you, and we're also very happy to hear about all the impactful change that you're driving in your community. I'm pretty sure that the people that are listening to us today are very inspired and captivated by your story. And we invite them to follow us and follow you in your social media, as you have already shared. So thank you so, so much for listening. And Kesar, thank you once again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful to talk to you.